We now bring to these microphones David James. We have a weekly conversation. The body of Christ, the church itself, needs to understand biblically what we discuss about the issues that are really in the forefront of what's happening in Christianity today. We're going to do that with David in just a moment, talking about an archaeological find in Israel. We'll bring that to the table. But I want to remind everybody, David and I are going to be together here in Chattanooga. David is going to be teaching how to study and interpret the prophetic word of God. I'm going to be teaching about Jerusalem and Bible prophecy. And of course, if you're not able to make it, if you can come, we'd love to have you here live. That's the best, because then you can interact with David and myself. But if that's not the case, you can get free online video streaming. Call our office, 423-825-6247. Talk with Jody, and she'll help you to understand how to be hooked up with that. David, looking forward to getting together in person and having some discussions and possibly even doing the broadcast while we're there in Chattanooga for the purpose of being able to talk about our next issue. Looking forward to seeing you. Drive carefully as you come. Well, this week, David, The Times of Israel, that's a newspaper in Israel, ran a story on an archaeological find that suggests the Hebrew text of the Bible could be older than many liberal scholars have thought. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's exactly right. They published findings that came out on Monday in a journal out of the United States called the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. They're saying that it could be possible that the earliest books of the Bible have been written before the exile and during the First Temple period. Now, this is significant because most scholars who are not conservative, who wouldn't take the Bible literally and have a very liberal view of history, they've dated almost all of the biblical text after the destruction of the temple and into and after the Babylonian exile. What they found was pottery shards at an excavation site that had Hebrew writing that they're dating back to at least the 7th century, so that puts it back before the destruction of the temple and the exile, so that puts it closer into biblical history.
Now, as I read the article, I seem to recall that only recently did they arrive at these conclusions, but the pieces of pottery that they found themselves were discovered quite some time ago. Is that correct?
Well, that's true. They were actually found in the Negev in the 1960s, and the thing is, they've most recently been able to develop some sophisticated imaging tools and some really complex computer software to take pictures of these and then analyze these. And what they did was, through these analysis programs, they were able to detect the actual strokes that the individuals used when they formed the characters, when they drew the characters. And from that, by noticing the differences in the way the characters were formed, they say that there were at least 6 different authors who wrote on this pottery. And so this is a significant find for this group.
What was it that actually led them to these conclusions concerning the Hebrew text? Because these pieces of pottery did not have any biblical writing on them, did they?
No, they didn't, but this is what's really cool about this. They're actually a collection of military orders that are written in an ancient Hebrew script that dated back, that they say, again, to the First Temple period. And what the reason this is significant is, if they were military orders, that means that there was a widespread literacy in the kingdom of Judah, whereas a lot of the more liberal scholars tended to think that writing really wasn't developed and maybe even was developed during the exile. But what this shows is that there was actually widespread literacy, so there could have been many more people, not only people who could have literally written the text, the original biblical authors, but they could have also been copied because of the widespread literacy. So this is a monumental find.
Well, this certainly is more supporting evidence for what conservative Bible scholars have believed all along. Have there been any other recent discoveries that tend to confirm the historical reliability of the Bible, David?
Yes, actually there are. In fact, there are a number that were cited in a Christianity Today article, just discoveries that were published last year in 2015. Several of them, I'll just note a few of them. One was that there's a 3,000-year-old seal from Jerusalem found in the dirt from the Temple Mount. You remember back in 1999, the Muslims actually illegally excavated dirt out of the Temple Mount to remove any indication of things going back to the temple period, because they deny that the temple was ever there. And there was a 10-year-old boy who found a seal dating back to the time of King David and the Jebusites back at 1000 BC. So that is clearly significant. Then there was a jar that was inscribed that goes back also to about 1000 BC that has the name Eshbaal on it. Now, one of King Saul's sons was named Eshbaal. Now, this is not that because it says that he was the son of someone else, but what this indicates is that the use of that name was not uncommon back around 1000 BC. Then there was excavators at the Tell, which was the former Philistine city of Gath, which is the city where Goliath was the god king, according to Philistine theology, and they said they found a large iron gate, and it was one of the largest city gates ever found in Israel, and that points, again, back to the time of King David. And then finally, one other one that I'll note, there are many others, but one other, there was a seal that was found in 2009 with a clay seal with the impression of King Hezekiah's personal seal, and it says, belonging to Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, and that dates back to prior to 700 BC. So it's really quite amazing.
It is amazing. It's great evidence of the reliability, the historicity, and the age, and the preservation, by the way, of the biblical text. And, you know, this has all been under relentless attack for the last 200 years. But one of the greatest archaeological discoveries to directly challenge these attacks was the Dead Sea Scrolls. Talk to us about that.
Well, that's right. Back in 1947, a shepherd boy was looking for a goat, as I recall, and he threw a stone into a cave, and he heard it hit some pottery. Between then and 1956, over the next 9 years, they found more and more caves, multiple caves, and they actually number them. In 1952, cave number four has produced the largest find. There are over 15,000 fragments coming from more than 500 different manuscripts. And as they studied these fragments, they found that every book in the Old Testament canon was found except for Esther. And in fact, there were 19 copies of the book of Isaiah and 25 of Deuteronomy and 30 copies of Psalms. So this indicates that back 200 years before Christ, that there were intact and reliable copies of the Old Testament manuscripts, and it threw the dating back to their earliest manuscripts 1,000 years. So it demonstrated that over that 1,000-year period, the copies that they had 1,000 years later were exact copies, almost exact copies of what they had 200 years before Christ.
And, of course, that discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls took place at Qumran, right on the shores of the Dead Sea. And, friends, if you come and go along with us to Israel, we always visit that spot and find out some very important information about the reliability of the Word of God. Well, let's turn to the New Testament for a moment. There's a lot of evidence to confirm the fact that we know exactly what the original authors wrote, that it's reliable, trustworthy, and that it has been preserved by God. Is that correct, David?
That's right. Daniel Wallace, who's probably the foremost scholar on the biblical texts, a Dallas Seminary professor, he noted that over 5,800 Greek manuscripts have been cataloged. But in addition to that, there are over 19,000 early copies, not just in the Greek, but in the Syriac, Latin, Coptic, and Aramaic languages. So the total supporting New Testament manuscript base is really over 24,000 fragments, with the earliest going back to the Rylands Papyrus, which dates around 125 AD. But then in a debate with Bar Ehrman, Daniel Wallace revealed that he personally had discovered some manuscript evidence fragments that could date back to the first century. And the important thing about this is that only 1% of any of the textual variants have anything to do with possibly affect the interpretation, but there's no major doctrine affected. So the vast majority of differences are that, like, if we were writing an email and we forgot to pluralize a word, missed an S or left an I out of a word where it was obvious, or misspelled like lead and led and misspelled that, or read and read where we would misspell that, where it's obvious that there was a copyist error. So this is extremely reliable.
When we discuss the nature of the Bible, David, we frequently hear terms like inspiration, inerrancy, infallibility. Can you just take a moment and give us a brief, practical working definition of these terms and why we believe these correctly describe the Bible?
Well, inspiration is when God moved the writers of the Bible to write the very words of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we read this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And 2 Timothy 1:9 says that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So that's inspiration. Then infallibility, Psalm 119:159 says the entirety of your word is true. So we know that it's entirely true and absolutely trustworthy. And then as far as inerrancy, Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth, your word is true. So it's completely free from error.
David, you know, when we understand that the Bible is inspired, we also realize that it is not only without error, but that because it came to us directly from God, then it has authority over our lives, and I think that's key. Now, in spite of these fairly regular discoveries that support the conservative view of the Scriptures, the Word of God, it continues to be under relentless attacks as we move deeper into what we would consider the last days.
Well, that's true. And you know what? Whether it be the evolution creation debate or the biblical text debate, the real issue is not the evidence. If Noah's Ark was found for sure tomorrow, people would still deny the biblical record that there was a worldwide flood. It's not a matter of evidence. It's a matter of people's hearts have turned against God, and they're not willing to listen to what the Word of God says or respond correctly to the work of the Holy Spirit. And as the world moves faster and faster into deeper and deeper into the last days, that is an increasing problem worldwide.
And that's exactly what Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3. And there'll be those denying the second coming of Christ because they walk after their own lust. They don't allow the Bible to have control over their lives, and they doubt the reliability of it. David, thank you so very much. A great conversation. Appreciate it. We'll have another one next week.
Thanks so much, Jimmy.